And welcome back. Political leaders in a number of American cities have taken it upon themselves to tackle numerous health issues. Mayor Slay has joined them in announcing a plan to help reduce obesity in the city. Fully one-third of the city's population is overweight, many of them clinically obese. Joining me to talk about the problem and the campaign to help St. Louisans reduce is Carl Filler, executive assistant and the manager of the Community Health Improvement Plan with the City of St. Louis Health Department. He manages the obesity plan. Carl, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Don.
Why this initiative?
Sure. So there's a couple of reasons, really. But back in 2012, the health department went through a process called the Community Health Assessment and Community Health Improvement Plan. And this was a process to become accredited by the public health accreditation boards. What we then did, and we engaged with many residents. We had about 12 different focus groups that we held throughout the city. We engaged aldermen. We engaged many of our partners. And what came to the top was sort of five major issues. One of those was chronic disease mortality. Chronic disease mortality is a number of different things: cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes. But we were seeing really high rates in parts of the city, and we were very concerned about that, as were our residents and many of our partners. So what we did over the following year or two was develop our obesity plan. So this plan was developed to combat the high rates of overweight and obesity that you referred to, where we have about 32.2% overweight residents, and we have 30.6% obese, which means well more than half of our residents have rates of BMI that are sort of worrying to us that lead to chronic diseases and then in turn can lead to chronic disease mortality. At the same time, the mayor unleashed his sustainability plan. So this was released about a year ago, and this plan had an action agenda in it, which had some really high-level goals for the city. And one of those, and the one that we've sort of championed, is the reducing obesity in the city by 5% by 2018, and this plan is sort of directed to do that.
You mentioned that it is particularly pronounced in certain parts of the city. I think I can probably guess as to what parts of the city that might be, but why don't you tell me?
Sure, and you're right. I mean, we see this time and time again with sort of many of the negative health indicators. We think it's very important at the same time to say, even though in certain zip codes, and that's often how we conceptualize it, with
generally the poorer areas.
They're poor communities. They're communities of color. These communities with less access to employment opportunities, less access to healthy food, less access to physical activity opportunities, less access to education. And these are communities that through no fault of their own, are receiving sort of negative health indicators. And, you know, for example, for diabetes mortality, the highest rates are in 63115, which is the Penrose neighborhood and other communities in that neighborhood. And we have rates that are more than double in our most sort of positive health outcome for diabetes, which is, I believe, 63109 St. Louis Hills in that neighborhood. So we're seeing, you know, you're maybe 2 miles away and you have double the rate of mortality, which is very concerning to us.
We have done a number of programs over the last year on the Forsake of All study that you're familiar with, obviously, conducted through researchers at Washington University and St. Louis University. And it was astonishing to hear them say that people in these certain zip codes, others that you've than the ones you've talked about, have a life expectancy 18 years shorter than those of the more affluent zip codes.
Yeah, and the work that Dr. Jason Purnell and his team with Forsake of All has done has been fantastic. I mean, they've put together information that we've known, but we now have it in one place. We understand exactly the impact. And so as we unleash these sort of interventions, as we do this good work with our partners, and again, we have this great group of partners who have been doing work for a long time and are continuing to do work with us, you know, we are able to target these areas, support the residents that live in these neighborhoods, and make sure that the interventions that we provide are going to the people who most need them.
Well, we'll just talk about those interventions. What interventions do you provide?
Sure. So the city for quite some years now has been doing some work in a couple different programs. We have Small Changes for Health. This is a program that's gone on for several years now. We just wrapped up the spring version. We'll be doing it again in the fall. This is sort of a behavior support program that's online, smallchangesforhealth.com. If you go there, you'll be provided every week with a small change that you can do in your life that will support healthy behavior. You can do things like there's the first, I think the first week was something around just knowing your numbers, just knowing, you know, what is your BMI? Are you someone who needs to be concerned about this? Then encouraging you to do a little bit of physical activity every day. We also have a Healthy Corner Store project that we do in concert with University of Missouri Extension. That has been a really great project to bring some healthy foods into some communities that really don't have that opportunity. And so we've been exploring that, and we hope to continue doing that. We also have, through our obesity plan, something called the Healthy Eating and Active Living, or HEAL Partnership. So our HEAL Partnership is made up of about 40 different organizations that serve the city, all focusing on various aspects of obesity. So we think about access to healthy eating opportunities, so the corner stores and that sort of thing, access to active living opportunities, so bike paths, parks, programs, that sort of thing, access to quality health care. So we know that people who have access to health care, access to preventative health care, have, you know, much healthier lives. And we also have been trying to do some good work in sort of social media. So we have a website called jumpintoshape.com, jumpn2shape.com, and you can go on there and sort of a weight loss challenge type program. So getting messages out that way as well.
Right. We have a call relating to the BMI, which you've mentioned a couple of times, body mass index, I believe that stands
yes.
for. We've talked about that a little bit on the first segment of the program, but let's bring Mike in from St. Louis. He wants to address this issue. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you. As a mathematician, I'm concerned about the way that the BMI is used as an overall measure of obesity, as opposed to one of just many different measurement types that can be used to measure obesity. And I understand the convenience of being able to use that, but how does your program address the fact that even people who are extremely physically fit, if they are perhaps of a denser body type, are considered obese by the BMI?
That's a great question, Mike. Thank you. So I'll answer that, I guess, from my experience, my perspective. When we have these high numbers of obesity, when we have in the city, you know, 30.6% obese, I would wager that most of those are not professional athletes. It's possible, but I think it's unlikely. I think that, you know, like you said, this is sort of a convenience factor. This is the method by which the Centers for Disease Control, which is the national surveillance system with behavioral risk factor surveillance system, conducts BMI and conducts obesity surveillance. So these are the numbers that we look at nationally. We recognize that they're not perfect, but no one has yet come up with a model that we're able to use and implement to monitor changes in our community's health.
You know, there have been some cases across the country where local governments and mayors in particular have attempted various kinds of initiatives and gotten a lot of negative publicity, folks saying that that's just reaching a little too far. I'll make up my own mind, thank you, about what I drink and what I eat. Any concern you have about that kind of reaction here?
That's a good question. And again, the Pew recently came out with a study looking at what do people think about government's role in public health? What do people think about government's role in obesity? And just like you said, the people don't want us to prescribe, okay, you have to do this, you have to do that. So the stance we've taken is that we just want to make the healthy choice the easy choice. So we try to make communities to support health. So we try to make sure that if you want to eat healthily, you have that option in your community. If you want to exercise, you have that option in your community. Again, we see these disparate differences between these different neighborhoods. And it's not because people in one neighborhood don't want to exercise or don't want to eat healthily. It's because they don't have that opportunity. So what we're trying to do is just give people that opportunity.
You know, we talk a lot about the food desert in certain parts of the city of St. Louis. How do you overcome that? I mean, there are some places where there simply is no place to get fresh produce, for instance.
Exactly. And that's sort of the goal of our Healthy Corner Store project, as well as working with farmers markets and some of the community gardens. So Gateway Greening is a great partner of ours, and they're just fantastic in bringing neighborhood giving them some of those community gardens. And farmers markets are kind of springing up all over the city. City Greens has a model, I believe, with a mobile market. So really there are some options now, but the more we can do to increase and support small and medium-sized and maybe even some large grocers to come into these communities and give access to individuals would be fantastic.
When do you expect to see some results out of all this work that you're doing, and how will you measure it? And we have 1 minute left.
Sure. So by 2018, our goal is to reduce obesity by 5% in the city of St. Louis. We have a couple different surveillance methods, again, through the CDC's Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, which is an annual surveillance of all of city residents around BMI. So that's one way we're going to track it. We're also tracking through some of our partners have programs. And so as they report out their outcomes, we look at those to make sure that we're having the impact we do. And we're always open to new ideas in terms of measuring our progress.
You know, if I've done my math correctly, if we're talking about one-third of the city population being obese, that's about 110,000 people. And you hope to reduce that by 5%, that's really not very many.
It's not. I mean, we'd love to reduce even more. But, you know, right now, I think the only cities I know that have even gotten close to that is New York and Philadelphia. And they've just poured millions and millions of dollars into it. So I think – and they've only gotten 4-5% if they're lucky. So I think for us, we're just trying to have goals that we know we can achieve. And we know that we can probably achieve 5% if we work hard at this, if our partners are supported. And I think I'm very hopeful that we'll have that reduction.
In 30 seconds, your biggest challenge?
Our biggest challenge, I think it's just – getting some of these projects done in the time frame, you know, that we've been put out there. You know, 2018 is only 4 years away. You know, everyone is trying to do this work really hard, but there are challenges around funding. There are challenges around, you know, people don't want to change their behavior. So figuring out how we can support them and making those healthy choices would be great.
Carl Filler, thank you. We'll put the relevant information on your project on our website, stlpublicradio.org. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.